And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Digital Adele Hoops podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hannafin. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic. It's great to be back with you doing this podcast, and all of our listeners and fans out there. Feels like it's been decades. And we are in the dog days of summer already. There's going to be a lack of news and actual basketball for quite a while. NFL training camps around the league are starting up, so it'll be transitioning to a lot of football talk in other places. But here on Digital Adele Hoops, we're going to continue talking about basketball, because that's what we do, baby.
Heck yeah, man.
Cool. So for our listeners that have been listening for a long time, they know that we do this segment every single year, and we do it around the same time every year. One, because it's the dog days, but also we learned a lot about the rookie class that was just drafted. And for the uninitiated, that's our rookies only segment. Today we go in alphabetical order by city, and we have the Atlanta Hawks. They are on the clock. They have selected Asa Newell. They traded away their other draft pick, and we're going to talk about him, the 6'10", 6'11" forward out of Georgia. Came in with a lot of hype. Where did he ultimately end up getting drafted? Let's check his draft position first.
23rd. He was 23rd. He was a part of that that Pelicans, I'm going to trade my first round pick because I feel like it.
They traded 13, right?
Yeah, they were at 13. They traded back 10 spots. And it feels weird because it's like I had Newell 13th on my board, ironically enough.
Right.
So they traded back 10 spots for a guy that was very attainable at the original draft position, who I thought would have been like a solid value pick then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree with you that it was a surprise that he fell all the way to the 23rd pick in the 2025 NBA draft. You had bigs go ahead of him, like Johan Berger, which I liked a lot, but I didn't like him over Asa Newell to that point because he was so raw.
Yeah.
And Hanson Young, for example,
I mean,
Joe Cronin doing his thing, it just wild through the whole draft off. Derek Queen.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was higher on Queen than me, but, you know, Colin Murray Boyle is going 9th. The Toronto Raptors, holy cow, super early on him. So there were a lot of bigs that went ahead of Asa Newell. Newell's going to have a lot to prove, and I'm sure he's going to want to carry that chip on his shoulder with him. But with that being said, he played 4 summer league games in Las Vegas. What are your thoughts on Asa Newell as you watched him? I'm going to run down the stats real quick. He played 24.9 minutes per game. He averaged 13.5 points per game. He finished 51.3% from the field. That's on 9.8 attempts. So he converted 5 out of every 9.8 attempts. And he shot a 42.9% from 3. That's on 3.5 shots a game. Free throw shooting was horrendous, 44%. The rebounding was pretty good, 8.5 rebounds per game. 2.3 of those were on the offensive glass. 3.3 of those were on the offensive glass. 2.3 assists, which is a welcome sign. Did turn the ball over a little bit. And then also 1.8 steals. What did you think the tape showed, and what did you see from Asa Newell?
I think the first thing I want to mention was the shooting. It was really helped by that Phoenix game. I think he shot like 4 or 5 from deep that game.
Right.
But just the shooting, I think, looked good overall. That was kind of my analysis with him toward the tail end of the season. Like, if you just look at his last 10 games at Georgia, 34.3%, obviously not great, but better than his full season sample of 29.2. And he was doing it on 3.5 attempts per game. And so, my kind of evaluation, or really our kind of evaluation, because I think you shared the same perspective, or a similar one at least, is that the shooting at some point would carry over. And like,
yes,
he would be a better 3-point shooter in the NBA than he was in college. He shot, 75% over that 10-game sample from the free throw line. Obviously, 44% from the free throw line in summer league. I think it was 8 of 18.
It's not good.
Not great, but I'm not trying to look too much into it. Like, I'm not going to say he's going to be like a 40% three-point shooter or near 40% three-point shooter, but just in that small sample of four games, it is encouraging nonetheless that he was taking and making threes at a relative clip. But just right. In general, the motor, I thought, was something that really stood out. Like, that, you know, one of my favorite things about him coming out was, you know, it was a 12 out of 10 every time. Obviously, he still needs to improve his strength. He still needs to get stronger, both from his upper body, his core, his lower body. But you could see the motor. You could see, I think, the versatility defensively, or at least flashes of that.
Yeah.
And him being disruptive. But really, my biggest like takeaway was like, okay, the shot, at least from the field, not from the free throw line, but from the field, it looks a lot better and just smoother. And I think that's something like over time, that's something that Atlanta could work with. And like, I don't know if he's going to get a ton of playing time right away, just because,
right.
I mean, they have Onyeka there. Jalen Johnson's obviously coming back from injury. Risa Shea was really good as a rookie, especially in the second half of the season. I think he will though, but you saw the inklings of someone who, you know, could be a productive rookie, an impactful rookie, not only offensively, but defensively.
Absolutely. And I think his dynamic athleticism is going to be a big plus for them as well. On the offensive glass, on the defensive glass, blocking shots, getting even the athleticism to get out and get steals in the passing lanes. Averaging 1.8 steals per game as a big is nothing to laugh at or nothing to sneeze at. So I think defensively, he can hold his own. He'll be able to get on the floor as a backup to Okongwu. I don't see him playing alongside Okongwu. Like, I know the shot's gotten better as the year went on at Georgia. 42% in summer league's pretty good. But I don't see him playing alongside Okongwu, especially not early. But I could definitely see him getting backup minutes. And I think that that's going to be really big for that Atlanta Hawks team, because they're really good. They're on the cusp of knocking on the playoff door and breaking that thing down. Now, the question is Trae Young going to be a serious basketball player come playoff time? Like, that's
I thought you were question. Just going to say serious basketball player in general.
No, because playoff time, you can't do that stuff. Like, you're in a play-in game. You're daring Davion Mitchell to shoot and not coming outside the paint because you got in some sort of, like, ego, you know, arguing match back and forth. Like, no, you got to get a hand up. I don't care who it is. You may not close out as hard as you close out on like Steph Curry, but you're gonna at least close out, get a hand up. That's just a bad look, man. And then get out, you know, rebounded, out hustled. Like, they're only gonna go as far as Trey Johnson takes it seriously, to be honest.
Trey Young.
Yeah. So one of the names I was gonna reference was Trey Johnson when I said close out hard, but I was like, it's way too early to start putting that on that kid already. He hasn't even played a game. So that stayed on the top of my mind. But yeah, Trey Young. But Trey Young's going to make Asa Newell stand out and look good, man. The fact that he's going to be able to run the floor, get out in transition, be a lob threat, be a vertical spacer. I know we talked a lot about him being able to space to the three-point line, but I think that vertical spacing is going to be very important with that second unit as well. Who's their backup point guard there in Atlanta? Do we know?
I'm guessing it was Dyson.
Was it Dyson?
They kind of used Dyson in that.
And like
de facto combo point guard role.
Yeah.
At times, I don't think he was there. Here, let me look again.
And when he did that role, though, he was more of like a scoring guard, too. He didn't really facilitate a ton.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something else. That was a good point that you mentioned that I saw that I want to bring up or talk about a little bit more was him in transition. He was really good in transition. Not only at Georgia, but in these four summer league games, like he's, even when he's not like sometimes the rebounding numbers with Newell, just given his size from a game by game basis, leave a little bit to be desired. Not that he's like a bad rebounder or anything, but when he's not getting defensive rebounds, he's excellent in transition and excellent at, you know, creating, like getting those early seals.
Right.
And like for a guy like Trae Young, Trae Young will be at like half court and we'll see that, and, you know, throw a pass to him if he's getting an early seal in semi-transition. Yeah. And that's something that, like, of value, of tangible value that Newell brings that obviously won't necessarily show up in the box score. I do like how you brought up the vertical spacing. I'm curious to see how much they play him next to Onyeka. Because I don't know if he's big enough to handle a backup five full time. Like, I think they'll do it, but it also at the same time, like, the counter to that is like they already have a glut of wings. That's not even including the two guys they brought in who are kind of like 2-3 hybrids in Nikhil Alexander Walker and Luke Kennard. Like, they have absolutely right there who can play the 3-4 whatever. And so maybe they will have him be like a backup five, or at least, I mean, I'm sure he's going to be getting those minutes, but I wonder how much, if at all, they test them together.
No, it'll be very interesting if they did. That would give them a pretty dynamic inside duo if they did that. And if Newell can hit the 3-point shot, because that's the key to it.
Yeah.
If he can space to the 3-point line, then it would work, because then you have all this athleticism defensively, all the ability to rebound, and the versatility of Newell to switch out on the perimeter defensively, because he moves very well for a big. What do you make of the 3.8 turnovers? You make that of him just being young? Was he trying to do too much? Like, what did you make of the turnovers?
Hold on, just before we move on to that point, I totally forgot about Kristaps.
Oh yeah,
Kristaps. I mean,
but is he ever going to be healthy though? But is he ever healthy?
Not as much as you'd like him to be.
No, but he does the problem.
Factor into the equation.
He definitely does. I mean, he's an all-star, right?
I just completely forgot. Apologies to our audience who have been listening for 15 minutes talk about Asa Newell and Onyeka Nkwagu without even mentioning Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's all part of the Boston sell-off, because Tatum's Achilles, unfortunately, was rendered useless for a full season. And that was at the end in the playoffs. That's going to take a while to come back from, man. I don't think he's going to be back next year. He's not going to be back until 2027, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's circumstantial, but I would imagine so. Like, for example, the Pacers, they applied and were actually granted, I think, the disabled player exception.
Mm-hmm.
And that just in essence rules out Halliburton for the entirety of the season. I think their GM already said that anyway. But I don't think they've completely ruled him out. So I think
it takes a full year almost. So, like,
I would imagine, yeah.
Unless Boston's like, without Tatum, we're gonna make the Eastern Conference Finals. I think he's done. I don't think he's coming back, unfortunately. And the thing with Porzingis, that sell-off. He would still be in Boston, in my opinion, if Tatum was healthy, because they would make one more run at it.
I think, I mean, not to steer too much into the Boston Celtics for an Atlanta Hawks rookie pod, but I do think that it would have been either Drew or Kristaps that they would have still sold just for.
Yeah, for sure. I could see Drew been gone for sure. I don't think Kristaps would, because that versatility as a big is just so hard to come by. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just depends on what they were offered.
True. Very true.
Because it was by the end, especially after Tatum's injury, it was the league's, you know, worst kept secret that they were going to trade those two guys.
Correct. You were correct about that.
Anyways, back to Asa Newell.
Back to Asa Newell and the Atlanta Hawks. So if you had to say there's one thing between now and the opening day, because we're going to make this a very quick pod. We're not going to go 30, 40 minutes like we normally do after we say it's going to be a quick pod. What's one thing do you think he needs to bring into the regular season that he focuses on between now and then?
Strength.
Get in the weight room, fix your core, maybe put on 5 to 10 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, because, I mean, there were times during Summer League where it felt like he was getting pushed. And I think he's, like, a wiry, strong player. Like, he looks skinnier than I think he actually is.
Yeah.
Or at least he looks skinnier but plays strong. But, you know, against NBA physicality for 82 games.
Right.
It's going to be like, once you hit the tail end of that stretch, I think it's going to be a tougher adjustment. And so just for him continuing to get in the weight room, continuing to get stronger, all throughout his body. It was the same
right.
conversation that we had last year with, you know, Khalil Ware. Like yep. he was awesome in summer league, to a degree, but he needed to get stronger. And Ace, I mean, he was what, six, he clocked in at 6'11", 220, something like that. Like,
yep.
I think there's room for him to get bigger and stronger. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say he's going to put on like 10 pounds of muscle or anything, but like,
you might.
I think just if he continues to get stronger over the first few years of his career, it'll be very beneficial, especially with how often he's on the offensive glass.
I absolutely agree.
Physical, he isn't like on the interior. Like toward the tail end of the season, like he played stronger than he is, but that was in college and that was in summer league. Like NBA is just a different ballgame.
Now, I absolutely agree with that. And one thing that I wanted to point out is that whenever he played against Auburn, and it was late in the season, and he had to match up with Jahni Broom. Jahni Broom, as we've documented on this podcast, can barely jump over a sheet of paper. And that's no knock on Broom, as he had an excellent collegiate career, yep. was one of the best college players. But if he's going to struggle against Jahni Broom, he's going to struggle against some of the stronger, more polished offensive bigs that are in the league right now.
Even ones who come off the bench.
Even the ones that come off the bench, because that grown man strength, man, as you saw with Ware, again, we reference Khalil Ware a lot around here because we are contributors at the Five Reasons Sports Network, and we talk about the Miami Heat all the time. And a big shout out to Team to Beat Heat. Amir says the Hawks suck. We didn't say that here at Digital Adele Hoops. That was Amir from Team to Beat Heat.
You hear that, Hawks fans? No.
That's right. Get at him on Twitter. His name's Amir. What was I saying? Yeah, so he's going to have to really bulk up physically because he can get buried, and you can also get really boxed out. And one of the things, I know this is, I'm veering into, I lump these players together because they're in the same class. But a second-round pick in like Lachlan Albrecht, for example, he's not nearly as athletic as Ace Newell. Like, they couldn't be night and day different in terms of athleticism. But the one thing about Lachlan Albrecht, he will fight physically through a double team to get an offensive rebound. He's physically strong. And he hasn't even developed his NBA body yet.
Yeah.
And so for Asa to keep up with people like that in his class, he's going to have to also be much more physically stronger than what he is right now. That's kind of where I want to leave it. So the physical strength, but I'd also want to say this, Matt, I really want to see him work on that back to the basket game to just in year one, have one go-to move that he can go to, whether it be a jump hook over that right shoulder, cause he's left-handed. If he's going to get to that, because lobs and dunks are nice, but if you can find yourself a couple of easy jump hooks throughout the game and make the defense have to collapse on you a little bit, that'll also help you get on the floor because you can draw double teams and get the ball moving.
Yeah.
So I would like to just see that.
Yeah, because he was a guy, at least like when he wasn't in transition or whatnot, a lot of his drives or attacks were like, you know, off closeouts and on the perimeter yep. and like dribble drive and stuff like that. Like there were times where he was in, like he put himself back to the basket, but it wasn't often. And obviously if you
no.
want to diversify your offensive profile a little bit when you're not, you know, being a vertical spacer or whatnot, that's a way to do it at his size, at his position.
Absolutely. Because I saw times when he was in college where when he got his back to the basket, he kind of didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And when he made up his mind though and figured out what he wanted to do and he attacked, I mean, he attacked.
Yeah. But if you, and they were also pretty poorly spaced.
Was, so. Yeah, they weren't great at shooting the three ball.
No,
it didn't help very much at all. Didn't help. He was one of their better 3-point shooters by the time the season ended. And that's saying a lot. But that's really it for today. I'm actually really high on Ace Newell. To close out today's show, Matt, I thought it was great positional value the Atlanta Hawks got, and at a position they needed.
Yep.
So I thought it just the stars aligned and ended up working out perfect. And again, a lot of this is caused because people at the top of the draft were like, yeah, I'm going to take a swing on a guy that I could have went 30th. Could have went 25th.
Or in the second round.
Yeah. So I just thought the positional value was terrific. Do you have any closing thoughts on Ace and Newell before we close out today's show?
I do not, man. I mean, I loved what I saw in Summer League. And again, with all of these guys, we're talking, you know, 3, 4, 5 game samples. Some maybe a little bit more if they played in the California Classic or Salt Lake Summer League. But we're working with small samples nonetheless. So this is a very good evaluation point for us, even though it's obviously not the end all be all for all these guys. But I was very impressed with what I saw from Ace, just again, with the shooting, him in transition, the defensive versatility, the athleticism. And I'm very excited to see what he's able to do as a rookie, not only as a rookie, but as he gets more experience in the NBA over his first few years.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see what this kid can do. I had him 11th on my big board. You had him 13th. So for him to go that low, terrific positional value. Again, I'm Digital Adele. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, all social media platforms under Digital Adele. If it's Instagram, there's a little space in the middle. So Digital Space Adele to find me that. Well, underscore Adele to find me on Instagram. But Twitter, anywhere else, Digital Adele. Of course, right here on playback.tv/Digital Adele Hoops and on YouTube under the same name. I'm Matt. Tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
You can find me at NPH_824_ on Twitter. I got it right again. HotOutHoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com, as well as playback.tv/5RSN and playback.tv/DigitalDillHoops, which we're at right now.
Right now. So don't forget to like and subscribe. We'll see you guys next time.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.